Good evening, everyone. Once again, I'd like to welcome you all here to the third of our Lenten lectures. On your behalf, I'd like to extend a very warm welcome to Mauro Iannicelli. As you can hear by the name, he's not English, but he'll tell you all about that afterwards. He's a lay evangelist and has been with his wife, Janet, and they do this full-time, and I'm sure he will share with you some of the work he's doing. I know some of you already know of his work because he's doing a scripture course at the moment on the readings of the Lenten readings for all the Sundays of Lent. So I, on your behalf, extend a warm welcome to Mauro. Thank you.
Very simple, to help individuals and parishes in evangelization and formation, offering, you know, courses, talks like this one. And our main program is the Bible Timeline course, which we've run a few times now. Now we are mainly online. Very rarely I come out of my YouTube studio. So like tonight, I'm very glad to be here. And just curiosity, because I did try to spread the news of this talk among our subscribers. So just a show of hands, if you've ever done any of the courses that we run, can you raise your hand? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, thank you. Okay, good. Thank you. Perfect. So at the moment we are doing a Lenten course. So on every Tuesday evening we do a gospel meditation on the gospel that you are going to hear on Sunday, basically. Anyway, molto bene, very well. So during this talk, I will ask you at least on one occasion to discuss one question in pairs about something that we will be speaking about. So let's try it straight away now as a sort of mini icebreaker. Can you turn to the person next to you, if possible, someone that you don't know, but otherwise doesn't matter, and share with each other what your favorite prayer is and why. What your favorite prayer is and why. I give you 1 minute. And obviously, first introduce yourselves. Okay? Okay, thank you. Very well, it worked. So when Father John contacted me and I was asked whether I could give a talk about our Catholic identity, you know, as part of these Lent lectures 2026, immediately one of the flagship talks in our program came to my mind. So a talk about a particular aspect of prayer on which I'm very passionate about, because it changed my life, that's why I'm passionate about it. And I thought, okay, this could work, this fits well with the spirit of these lectures. Why? Well, because, you know, on one hand, the foundation of our Catholic life is obviously being in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. On the other hand, the channel for this to happen is prayer. Therefore, prayer is truly the foundation of our Catholic life. So, and that is where the title of this talk fits in. So in fact, if someone asked me, Mauro, if you could say just one thing to someone about how to grow in their spiritual life, what would you say to them? Well, my answer would be this talk, this very talk. So you'll hear all about it. And so in a way, this talk has been in the making for about 25 years, and you are hearing tonight. So during my over 2 decades of walking in the faith within the church, I have realized that there is one aspect of prayer that is really it's rarely mentioned. It's rarely mentioned, and therefore is often neglected. You know, we all have heard so many, you know, things and talks about prayer, but this one, okay, we'll get there. It's something of extraordinary importance, according to me. In fact, the original title of this talk that you'll hear, my original title, as I would give it, is Prayer with a Rule of Life, a Copernican Revolution. I will explain. So this will be the particular aspect of prayer on which we'll focus, the rule of life. And I will also explain what I mean by Copernican Revolution. So that's coming as well. Anyway, the best way I found to introduce this topic is starting with personal testimony. So that is what the Lord has done in my own journey. So, I'll tell you. So, after being away from the Catholic Church for a long time, I embraced my faith fully in the year 2000, at age of 30, when I was 30. And back then, I was still in Rome. And I began to nourish my faith in various ways. So I joined courses, you know, I read scripture, went on retreats, and the likes. And during this time, I also began, of course, to practice prayer, experimenting various forms of it. And in those days, this is what would typically happen. It happened that on busier days, I prayed less, while on days when I had more time, I devoted more time to prayer. You know, in other words, I was living a life of what I call random prayer. It had no rhythm or pattern. And, you know, some days, you know, full of devotion, other days less or even nothing. So it was entirely dictated by my schedule, if I prayed more or less. So a prayer that was simply shaped entirely by chance and not by choice. Yeah. So at the time, this seemed perfectly normal or even obvious. You know, after all, life pulls us in many directions, you know, work, social engagements, everything in between. So I saw no problem in the way I was living in this sense. However, the Lord had in store something else for me. So a friend of mine introduced me to a priest from Opus Dei, and he became my spiritual director. So he pointed me to some of the best works of Catholic spirituality, you know, like Saint Teresa of Avila, Saint Alphonsus Maria de Liguori, San Jose Maria Escrivá, and many others. And I eagerly devoured those books. And he then introduced me to the practice of mental prayer, or meditation, another name for it. A practice with which I didn't know, but which I embraced wholeheartedly. Then he introduced me to the importance of having a rule of life in prayer. And this changed my life forever. So I went from a life of random prayer, as I called it, to following a rule of life in prayer. And I'd like now to explain what this actually consists of, why it is important, and how it can help perhaps some of you. So before I begin, I would like to make a brief remark. Yeah? So the Catholic tradition is blessed with many different forms of prayer, of spirituality, we all know that. So think of Jesuits, Carmelites, Franciscans, Benedictines, Dominicans, you know, etc. This diversity is a richness, and because it allows each person to find what works for them. However, it's also true that this schools, these, you know, ways of being Catholic, they all teach about personal prayer, but there are certain basic criteria which are in common. So they are different, but some criteria are in common about what they teach about prayer. So, in other words, there is consensus about at least certain elements. So what I'm saying is this. If these schools, like, you know, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Francis of Sales, St. José María Escrivá, etc., and countless other masters, all agree on certain principles of how personal prayer should be practiced, then we can be confident that these are worth putting in practice. What I am about to share comes from this common denominator of Catholic spirituality, so to speak. So it's safe ground. So I'll start by sharing what I call the golden rules about personal prayer. So the golden rule number one is this one. Prayer must be daily, and we must commit to at least one session of exclusive time for God every day, fixed in duration. This is the important bit, fixed in duration, not random. Not that if I don't have time, I pray 5 minutes, if I have more time, I pray half an hour. No, it has to be fixed in duration. And we'll see why shortly. So we don't have to shorten it according to our liking. Think, for example, think of 30 minutes, no? So I will speak shortly about how to determine this duration for each one of us. But in any case, think of a daily window of time that we reserve, that we commit to God in an exclusive manner, meaning without doing anything else, not while we commute. We can pray when we commute, but I'm talking about something else, a main prayer session of the day where this is really special. This is set aside for God. And during this session, we should stick to the allotted time that we have decided. Having this rule of life, this daily commitment fixed in duration, is how we show God that He is really the first in our life, that we are actually serious about Him, and that we give Him the prominent place of our day. And let me show you why that is. So consider this. If I don't fix a duration in time for my daily prayer, you know, if I don't have a rule concerning the duration of my daily prayer, then this will invariably happen. I will, as I said before, I will pray more when I feel like it, and I will pray less when I don't feel like it. More when I have more time, less when I have less time. Which means that God is not really my priority. Why? Well, think about it. Even in secular matters, when we think that something's really important, we make a program, we plan, we commit, we put it in our diaries, we make time for it, we set it in stone, etc. In other words, we'll make sure that the other things revolve around this one. So how much more should we do it with God if we are serious about advancing in Christian perfection? You know, praying with the clock is not at all detrimental to our prayer. It's a choice. It's a choice out of love for God. So having a basic rule of life for our prayer means that we are saying, Lord, I give you of myself. I give you this daily time of prayer regardless of anything else. And now I can explain why the original title of this talk was Prayer with a Rule of Life, a Copernican Revolution. So, first of all, do you know who Copernicus is? Just raise your hand if you know. Just even, you know, vaguely, you know. Okay, so 5 centuries ago, people believed that the sun revolved around the earth, and that the earth was the center of the universe. Nicolaus Copernicus, a Polish astronomer, was the first to say that it was the other way around. That is the Earth which revolves around the Sun. So a Copernican revolution means a complete change of perspective, putting at the center what really is the center. So, well, friends, adopting this rule of life is like a Copernican revolution in prayer. And why is that? Well, because if we adopt this rule, we are saying, Lord, it's not you that must revolve around me any longer. It's not you that must revolve around other most important things that happen in my life. No, it's the contrary. I will revolve around you. You are first. You are my priority. You are the fixed part of my day. Like the sun in the solar system is the center, the fixed one. So it means I will organize myself, my things around you. Does it make sense? Okay. So, basically, we should never be in a position of saying, I don't have time to pray today, or maybe 5 minutes, etc. If that's the case, we need to reorganize our lives and see why that happens, reform our lives. And I will explain a trick to manage to do so, which is the essence of this talk. So let me make another consideration, which seems to support the fact that having a rule of life is more perfect than not having one. All the schools of spirituality, like Jesuits, Franciscans, Dominicans, etc., all have a rule regarding the duration of personal daily prayer for their members. So in many cases, the rule, for example, of mental prayer is 1 hour, sometimes some of them is 2 hours. And they, in their case, they have many other devotions as well. Now, of course, that's for consecrated members. Of course, why instead we live in the world, we are lay people. But you can get the gist of it. You can get, they don't simply say, you must pray every day, you must pray a lot. They specify a duration. They have a rule of life, which means that this is the best way to do things. What I'm saying is that lay people generally will pray less than consecrated people, but still, having a rule of life is the best thing. So we'll get to how to choose the duration shortly. But the fact is that the saints and the spiritual masters do recommend having a rule of life in prayer for lay people as well. So, which brings us to golden rule number 2, which is this, you can see on the screen. Choice of the duration of the daily prayer. How do we establish the duration for ourselves? How long should we, decide to pray for? So now, of course, this depends on where each person is at in their faith journey. So the duration of the daily prayer should be discerned with the help of, a good spiritual director that you may have. But the saints come to our help and give us a very useful indication. So there is consensus that for lay people, this daily commitment should be between 30 minutes for beginners up to 1 hour for those who want to be proficient in the spiritual life. And, for example, Saint Alphonsus Liguori, who wrote for lay people, doctor of the church, he says that beginners should pray for 30 minutes, while those more advanced in the journey should pray up to 60 minutes. Saint Francis of Sales, another doctor of the church who writes for lay people, also recommends up to 1 hour of personal prayer, or San Jose Maria Escrivá, a saint, founder of Opus Dei. So he recommends up to 1 hour for lay people. In his case, he divides into two, 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes in the evening. But still, we are there. And many more along these lines. So the consensus presented by prominent books of spiritual theology is that lay people should decide, they take a decision, decide for a daily commitment to prayer between 30 minutes and 60 minutes. Now, 2 points about this. Why a minimum of 30 minutes? Is there a reason? So there is a very good explanation of Saint Peter of Alcantara as to why the minimum should be around 30 minutes. And I'm going to share it with you. So he says, when we begin to pray, inevitably our mind comes from other activities that we were doing before. We necessarily take some time to recollect ourselves and enter into deep prayer. So it's not immediate, you know? So if we begin and then we stop praying after, let's say, 15 or 20 minutes, that might have been when we were ready to enter deep prayer. So you need a minimum of some consistent time, and he says, these saints say 30 minutes. Let's see another point, that of graduality. If you have never prayed with a rule of life like that, it would be heavy. Thank you very much. So if you have never prayed with a rule of life, it might be heavy to start already with 30 minutes. So in this case, my suggestion is that you start by committing to, let's say, 15 minutes, even for 6 months, even for 1 year, just to get the mentality, because this is a new mentality. Once you get the mentality and the habit, then you can increase and the time. For example, I actually gave this little prayer workshop, as I called it, to my wife Janet one day in Prêt à Manger when we were, you know, 10 years ago, we were just good friends back then. And I just, one day we went to Prêt à Manger and I gave this little prayer workshop. And so Janet heard these words and she said, "I want to marry you." No, it's not true. That came later. But she adopted what I said and she started praying 15 minutes per day for a year, I think it did. Then it brought to 30. Now she's praying 45 minutes per day every morning religiously. So it takes time, it can be done. And it should be done. Okay. So start gradually, but do start. Now, I will try to show you from another angle why such a commitment is not at all inappropriate. Let's see. So the day is made up of 24 hours. And you want to have a serious relationship with God. Yeah, I assume it. So would you say that it's too much to give God 2% of your entire day to be in prayer with Him? You know, He has given us 100% of the time we have. So giving back 2%, you know, it doesn't sound impossible. And you know how much is 2% of 24 hours? If you make the calculation, is 29 minutes. So basically 30 minutes. So if I ask you to pray 30 minutes per day, I'm just saying, can you give 2% of your time in an exclusive way, without doing anything else, to God? I think the answer should be yes. And if you start with 15 minutes, then it's 1%. Okay, so gem number three, golden rule number three. What is the best time to pray during the day? It is the morning, the afternoon, the evening, or is it indifferent? So, in my opinion, this is the most important tip that I can ever give. This one, which is coming now. This is a game changer. It changed my life, at least. So, again, this comes from the consensus from the saints, the schools of spirituality, etc. So, the best time to do this, you know, main session of prayer is in the morning, early morning, before starting your day, before starting your activities. Basically, it works like this. We wake up, get up, we shower, we dress, and then we pray. So my advice to you is that you don't pray in your pyjamas. Dress for the day as you are going to meet the King of Kings in the main session of prayer of the day. So you pray and then you have your breakfast and the day begins. So I give you three reasons why to pray in the morning, as I just said, is the top tip of all, the game changer. So three reasons from the wisdom of the saints. Reason number one, you will notice that if you try to pray, let's say, this allotted time, let's say in the afternoon or in the evening, whatever, there will be times where, when you won't manage, not because you don't want, but because, you know, something happens during the day, something unpredictable comes during the day, and suddenly forcing you to do something else, maybe to go out or do something else. And in this way, you will skip your time of prayer, even if you don't want to. But if you pray first thing in the morning, you have done it. You understand? You have done it. Even if anything may happen during the day, but you've done it already, so it can't be taken away from you. So I found this tip, the only actually tip, which allowed me to keep this rule. I've tried in other ways, praying this in the evening, in the afternoon. Yeah, it worked for a while. Then something happens, you skip. You see? Whereas you do it first thing, you've done it. Reason number two, by praying first thing in the morning, you give God the first place in your day, and that's a statement as well. It's a way of giving him honor. We are saying, Lord, you are my first thought. My prime time is for you, you know, not for my belly or anything else. Reason number three for praying in the morning. You know, in the morning, after we shower, our mind is fresh, Whereas if we prayed in the evening after a whole day of, you know, work or things or whatever, we would be inevitably a bit more, you know, things in our mind, a bit more tired, etc. It would be more difficult to recollect ourselves, and we would be more easily distracted because we would be thinking what happened an hour ago, etc. etc. So it's worth making the sacrifice of acquiring the habit of getting up earlier to do our main daily prayer time. For example, if your time is 30 minutes, you simply learn to get up 30 minutes earlier and everything will fit together very well. At the beginning you will fail, doesn't matter, you could keep on trying and then you will manage. That's how you acquire habits. So, it might be difficult, but again, the benefit is immense. Now, all of this might feel a bit overwhelming if it's new, but actually it's not. It's not. I want to share my testimony about this as a lay person, not a religious. You know, the one excuse that lay people often use to not do this is, you know, I don't have time. I don't have time, I have a full-time job, I've got family, friends, this and that, and I can't. Well, after my conversion, I had my 9-to-6 job in IT for many years, a demanding job, and I had friends, social life, everything, normally, etc. But I've kept this rule for 1 hour, 60 minutes. I've kept it for 25 years now. This is simply part of me. It's been like this for a long time. So it's possible, very possible. And then in my case, I did other things. For example, I go to mass lunchtime or in the evening, the rosary in the evening. So there is a lot of time. If there is a will, there is a way. That's the very simple rule here. So it's absolutely possible to commit to this and have a normal, happy life. That's what I'm going to say. So now, in the past, my rule was to get up at 6:30 to 7:30 when I was working. Now I don't have to go out to commute because I work from home, etc. So then I've made some progress, etc. So now I get up at 5, but you don't have to do this. You can decide whatever time you want to get up, as long as it's you get up a bit before so that you do this time. That's all. Then it will become a second nature to you after a while. And you will have, of course, a deeper relationship with God, which has eternal rewards. Okay, so one more point. This is supposed to be an exclusive time with God, remember? We shouldn't use this exclusive time, this main session, while multitasking or while commuting. You can pray while commuting, but not during this main prayer time. You need to go in deep. You need to be by yourself in a church or at home, but it has to be exclusive time. Okay, so far we've given three golden rules, and so let me show them to you with the answers as well. So that you can see them on the screen. We've already said everything about them, so the 30 to 60 minutes and the first thing in the morning, etc. Okay, now that you've heard this, that's when I would like you to discuss an answer for 5 minutes. It's actually a long one, but let me read it to you. Let me read it to you if you don't see from there. So we'll turn to each other and what do you think of the three golden rules about daily prayer given so far? So, you know, fixed duration, 30 to 60 minutes, do it in the morning. Has anything spoken to you personally? Is there anything you agree with? And very important, is there anything you disagree with? If you have resistance to what I said, please discuss it. It's very, very, very important. So what would be the potential challenges for you to pray in this way? So I leave it here because you know, there are actually three questions here. So discuss it for the next 5 minutes. I give you 5 minutes because this is the one question that I only have one question for you to discuss. It's this one. So I give you 5 minutes. Is it clear or do you want me to repeat? Okay.
Yeah.
I can. In front of your chair.
Yeah.
In front of your chair.
You can get in.
Discussions about this. This talk has provoked many different kind of reactions. Some people have absolutely loved it. Some people didn't want to speak to me anymore after giving this talk. No, since anyway, yeah, it can be very. You know. Are you familiar with Ignatius spirituality? No. Saint Ignatius says that you know a spiritual concept that lands on you. Can have an effect or not. Now, there are three options. If you are delighted about it, that's good. If it provokes you a negative reaction, that's also good, because it means you are wrestling with it. What's not good is indifference. So if what you heard here simply doesn't really, then, you know. But even if it provokes a negative reaction, maybe it's good, because maybe you need to wrestle about with this concept, basically. Okay, so next, I now would like to talk about some issues that we can encounter during prayer. Some issues. So what you heard was the main part of the talk. Now this is a sort of additional part. We still have time. So, first of all, we have to be aware that prayer in general, and in particular mental prayer, requires a degree of effort. Mental prayer is actually the highest degree that, okay, then there is contemplation, but let's say, between there is, let's say, vocal prayer, set prayers like the rosary, you know, then there is mental prayer, which is meditation. Mental prayer is higher than set prayers, because you really have to, you know, apply your reasoning to, you know, the Bible or the saints or whatever, that you have to squeeze out juice from what you are considering. But this is how we grow. Well, what I'm trying to say is that this can be difficult, this can require effort, but this is how we grow. So we should not shun it because it's difficult. On the contrary, set prayers, for example, when we pray the rosary, I pray the rosary every day, but you know, you can be a bit more passive there, because you know, it's there, you know it by heart, you just repeat it. We tend to be a bit more passive, but with meditation on a biblical text, like Lectio Divina, you really have to, you know, give of yourself to it. So, that's exactly what makes us grow, basically. We grow because there is a component of effort, a component of sacrifice in doing that. But that's the reason for this is meritful to God's eyes. He will be pleased to see us fighting for him, with making an effort for him. So he loves to see us fighting for him, you know. So, you know, if we go to the gym and we don't lift any weights, you know, our muscles won't grow. So spiritual progress is the same. You know, a saint is someone who gives of himself with generosity, with generosity to the Lord in various ways, beginning with serious prayer. You know that there is a section about prayer in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. You know, the Catechism, it's four parts, four pillars. The last section is about prayer. And you know what the title is? It's not the beauty of prayer. It's not the amazing, you know, time of prayer. It's the battle of prayer. Just to reiterate that it's normal that it takes effort. So don't be, put off that you see, oh, this is costing me. That's good. Okay. Why am I telling you this? Not to put you off, but on the contrary, it's to equip you. Because I don't want you to start meditation and then think, hey, what? Wait a minute. This is harder than the rosary. You know, what's happening? You know, maybe it's not for me. And then you quit. No. A degree of effort is normal, especially at the beginning. But if you use the trick of starting gradually, say 15 minutes, it actually won't be hard at all. Trust me. So you can even use one of the many books of meditations, you know, there are many, to start. And there is also something else, someone else, I should say, who will work in your favor. God is watching you and he is on your side. As soon as he sees you moving and making the first steps in seeking him with the commitment to a rule of life for meditation, he will come to your aid. He will give us the graces that we need to persevere, because he is on our side in this. And of course, then there is a very important tip. When you pray, ask God the gift of prayer. Ask God to help you within this process. That's very important. So another thing that we need to know is that we will experience different kinds of days as we pray. You know, there is an alternance between normal days, days of consolation, and days of desolation or dryness when we engage in mental prayer. So we will learn how a normal day of prayer looks for us, how it feels, you know, a normal day, and then we will recognize very easily a day of consolation or a day of desolation. So we will also see that God will give us these different kinds of days. So suppose that the Lord gives you a day of consolation. What does it mean? It means that you read the text, you start meditating, and immediately you have ideas. You start praying to God. Everything looks easy. Everything works. And you are happy. And then maybe even the day after, boom, it gives you a day of dryness where you are there and nothing comes to mind. You just want this clock to go faster. This is actually Saint Teresa of Avila writing about that. But she had, how do you call that thing that with the sand that you turn and... So in those days, you just want to, you know, stop, etc. So on those occasions we feel the absence of God because we can't focus on anything and everything is very unpleasant. And as I said, spiritual theology calls it time of desolation. And surprise, surprise, desolation can also be a God-given time. So both consolations and desolations can be God-given times. Now, I'm sure that if I say that consolation is a God-given time, everyone agrees. it means you are praying well, so it must be from God. But if I say that a day of dryness and desolation is given by God, that's a bit more strange. But God does that. God permits days of desolation because he has a purpose for them, for us. Let me explain. God's purpose is always to make us grow in love of him. So, in addition to our normal days of prayer, God uses two more ways to make us grow: consolations and desolations. They both are meant to strengthen us, but in different ways. So, in the days of consolation, God draws us to himself by attraction, by giving us pleasure, satisfaction, by granting us new lights on this or that truth of the Catholic life, about ourselves, etc. But days of desolation are equally important for us because during those days, God wants to see that we are still there for him, sticking to our time faithfully, even when it's difficult. So sometimes he wants to see that we are willing to fight for him. So, you know, that we carry the cross if needed, like Jesus, whom we must resemble. God wants to see that we are there, still there, seeking him, and even when he doesn't give us the pleasure to be there, the reward to be there during that time of prayer. So in other words, I come to the point, during those times of desolation, God is teaching us sacrificial love, sacrificial love. And you will agree with me that there cannot be real growth in holiness if we are unable to live also the dimension of suffering love, yeah? And also in prayer, also in prayer. You see, there is an image from nature that can help this explanation. Imagine a rock battered by the waves of the sea. So for many years, the water of the waves hits the rock and then withdraw. Hit the rock and then withdraw. And the rock will be shaped by this alternance of water hitting and water withdrawing. It will be shaped. In the same way, God shapes our soul, first entering in us with the consolation of his presence, and then withdrawing himself from us with the desolation of his absence. Is it clear, this image?
Yeah.
So, absence, which by the way is only apparent, always only apparent. So this gives us even more knowledge to understand why it is vital to have a daily time of prayer of fixed duration, no matter what. Why? Well, can you see where I'm going with this? Imagine, basically, if the duration of the prayer is not fixed, that means that when we have consolation, we'll be there. But in days of desolation, obviously, we will stop. We will pray less, because this desolation is not nice, see? That's why it's important to have a fixed time of prayer, otherwise we couldn't be tested in sacrificial love. Is it clear? Okay. So, this whole process is described by the saints. You know, it cannot happen if we pray randomly. We need a rule of life for prayer. You know, flowing on from what I just said, I want to share one more consideration which I find very encouraging during the days of desolation. Saint Teresa explains how we think that our prayer goes well during days of consolation, when we are able to speak to God, etc., and goes bad during days of desolation. It's not working during days of desolation. But in God's eyes, it's actually paradoxically more meritful when we persevere in days of desolation than the days of consolation. Is this obvious? It should be, yeah? Because in desolation, you really must be there for him, because you have no other reason otherwise. You are not enjoying it. So remember, sacrificial love is the highest form of love, and all the more for a God who sent his only Son to sacrifice his life for us on the cross. So he taught us sacrificial love from the pulpit of the cross. Okay. So I'm going to start landing this plane as we come to the end of this talk. I hope that you can see how much there is at stake here, namely our holiness. So this talk, I've already said that this talk can be challenging, okay? So I'll skip that. So my suggestion to you, final one, is simply that you go and try to do it. You try to do it. And what helps a lot in this is spiritual reading. You need to read the saints, because they will tell you all these things. Now you've heard it for 30 minutes, 40 minutes. But if you read the saints, the readings of the saints, this will fix in your mind this concept, and you will make great, great progress. Very good. And if you want an easy way to start meditation, I suggest leave Ignatian meditation aside. You know, that's too maybe difficult. But the simplest one, Lectio Divina. That's a timeless method, really good, really well. You pray on the Bible, you learn how the four steps of Lectio Divina. You can go on the internet, buy books on this. And this, you can do this for years, no problem. Very good. So we finish here, and I want to finish, unsurprisingly, with a prayer. Actually, no. The questions before, after, how, Father, how do we do? Do we have time for questions?
We do the prayer, and then we'll ask questions.
Okay, so we finish with the prayer. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Lord, we thank you for tonight, and I want to ask you, Lord, to give us the grace of a resolve to try this in our lives, a resolve to really put you first, make this Copernican revolution, and put you first because you are first. Lord, you are the Alpha and Omega. Thank you, Lord. Send us your Holy Spirit so that what we heard remains in our minds. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Very good.